glorious gospel. I want us to see just some things here that will help us in this special area. And I guess the glorious gospel or the good news. I might say that it's still, the gospel is still good. Come on, help me, Dom. And it's still news.
Amen.
You know, for many people all around the world, the gospel, including this valley, it's still news. I've always liked that little chorus, untold millions are still untold. Untold millions are outside the fold. Who will tell them of Jesus' love and the heavenly mansions awaiting above? So it's still good, and it's still news. Untold millions, still untold. Who will tell them? That's a good question. Who will tell them? You know, follow with me just for a few minutes, if you would, this morning. I hope to just to give the gospel as clearly and succinctly and simply as I possibly can. And I hope it's a reminder this morning, both to the saved and to the lost, that some questions will be answered. And that the gospel might be as understandable as it can possibly be. Someone told me when I first started preaching that we're to stand up, speak up, and shut up. And someone said, if you're going to be effective in your preaching, you got to keep the engine as close to the caboose as possible. Or the beginning and the end, and introduction and the conclusion, as close as possible. Well, I want to be effective this morning. But if I'm going to be effective, I understood years ago that you got to have good listeners. So you got to listen. Good. Amen. You got to pay attention. On purpose. And get what God's got for you. Good news. We were eating the other day with the Eccleberries and the Chapels, and we'd come up to see Brother Mark, but had already gone in for the test. And so while we were waiting, we were out eating, and all of a sudden, Dr. Chapels, Larry Chapel, you're going to get all confused here, but phone went off, and he said, "Hey, good news, there's no blockage." I know they were thrilled with that, and we're still trying to decipher and discern and determine what else is wrong, and that's why we're praying and praying about and praying for that very quickly he'd be raised up and be back here as your pastor and in this place behind this pulpit preaching the Word of God. But good news. You know, someone asked me, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Well, at this age, I'm fortunate to be doing anything." You know, you never know as the years go by just exactly what's going to be going on or what you're going to be facing. And so it's always good news to get up on the right side of the sod. I've always told people it's always good news just to get up. And I was talking to an older gentleman not too long ago, and he was bemoaning the fact of getting older. And he said that he didn't have as much hair as he used to have, and he didn't have as good a gait as he used to have. He couldn't get around the way he liked to be able to get around, and sometimes it was a struggle, and sometimes he didn't have the mind that he used to have, and when people would tell him stuff, he'd forget it easily. And sometimes he said, "You know, there's times when I don't even know where I am." He said, "But I've still got a lot to be thankful for." He said, "Hey, the good news is I've still got my license." Well, amen. And we got a lot of drivers like that up in Connecticut, I think. But good news. Sometimes I think we all like good news. Well, as we look at this text this morning, the gospel is still good news. Look at Paul in verse 15. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, I'm glad that Freeway Baptist Church is still a soul-saving station. That you're here to win souls to Christ and to minister to the community. You know, there's so many churches today that have so much going on and lots of good things, I guess. And some are into lots of things like entertainment. But, you know, I think many churches have forgotten what Paul said here, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why He came. And that's what the need of the hour is today. And it always has been until Jesus Christ comes again. It always will be. And I'll take our next few points out of verse 15 and verse 16. Howbeit for this cause, Paul said, I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern. Get that, don't miss it. For a pattern, then we should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. And out of our text today, I want us to just see four simple little things about this glorious gospel. About this good news. Number one, all need to be saved. I said earlier, are you listening? I want it to be as clear as possible. I want you to listen on purpose. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 just for a minute. Keep your finger there. We'll be back. But 1 Corinthians 15. I think a lot of people are confused today about the gospel. I think sometimes Christians become confused about the gospel. And here we find that all need to be saved. Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. There it is. It's so often found. And here it is again, brethren. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. But now, wait a minute. Now he goes into an exhortation and a definitive definition of the gospel. He didn't want them to miss it. He didn't want them to misunderstand it. He didn't want them to misquote it. And so in verse 2 he says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now get it, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You know, a lot of people quit there. Yeah. But verse 4, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And because He's victorious, we can be victorious as well. Hey, listen, all need to be saved. Someone said, if you're a good exegete today, all means all, and that's all means. All means all. All inclusive. Everyone included, no one excluded. No one outside the gospel. All need to be saved. By the way, don't be afraid of that word saved. That's a great word. That's a great Bible word. Saved. You know, every now and then someone will say, you know, we say sometimes to people, well, are you saved? And they look at us like, what? I've had people say to me, saved from what? Well, saved from hell. Amen, come on. Saved from sin. Saved from a wasted life. Saved from hell. Saved to heaven. And there's still a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And all need to be saved. You know, I'm kind of flabbergasted. That's Greek for odd. Every now and then when someone tells me, well, so-and-so is so good, I don't think they need to be saved. No, I hear Christians say that. Sometimes about aunts or about uncles, or they're such good people. Or they're such a wonderful individual. Or they're such a fine young person. And I just want to remind you from the Scripture this morning, all need to be saved. Every fine young person, every wonderful grandmother, every tremendous co-worker, every great parent, every hard-working neighbor needs to be saved. Men and women, boys and girls, the young, the old, the rich, the poor, they all need to be saved. the sick, the healthy, the righteous, the unrighteous, the self-righteous. They all need to be saved. All need to be saved. People on the foreign field, around all the mission places that we would talk about and the places that you send your mission money to help guys start churches and plant works and win the lost. But I mean areas like Phoenix. Hello? And Glendale. And Ajo. And Y. Connecticut. And New York. California. And Ohio. All need to be saved. The Bible says, for all sin to come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Luke 19:10, for the Son of God came to seek and to save that which was lost. Without Christ, and without help, and without hope, Jesus Christ came for us. All need to be saved. Oh, how often I think we've forgotten that. Many times we stop witnessing. Many times we get too busy. And theologically we become sloppy. And we forget the great texts of the Bible that tell us that all need to be saved. Secondly, quickly this morning, I want you to see something that's unbelievably exciting. All can be saved. I don't know if anything ever excited me more as I got into the ministry than that all can be saved. There's no one, no individual, no person too hard for the Lord. I know every now and then you hear about it and someone will say, well, I don't think they can be saved, preacher. They're just too hard. And I want to remind them over and over and over. And sometimes I want to shout it. Sometimes I want to shake them and say, no, 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 no one's outside the scope of Calvary. Amen. And how much He loved. The measure of God's love is that you can't measure God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I like John 3:16. All can be saved. And those of you that are here and you're saved and you know it, you're a testimony to the fact that anybody can trust Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. I say when I remember that day that I trusted Christ as personal Savior, thank God, hallelujah, that God be the glory. I'm not charismatic, but I can get charismatic. When I start thinking about salvation, and some of you ought to get excited too. Maybe smile even every now and then. And you say, well, I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I'm on my way to heaven. I know where I'm going. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. No one's too hard for God. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Some of you ought to start thinking, maybe right now you're thinking a little bit about, well, they're too hard for God. Maybe you ought to just put them back on your prayer sheet. Maybe you ought to just be down here at an old-fashioned altar a little later this morning, crying out once again to the Almighty God of the universe that He might do an unusual, special, blessed Holy Spirit work in their life. Maybe save them, maybe bring them back. I tell people all the time in our congregation, I have for years, that no one's outside of the scope of the grace of God. And don't give up on anyone ever, anywhere, at any time, for any reason. I know I've had people tell me, well, preacher, why don't you just give up on them? Oh, we don't want to give up on anybody. There's some of you haven't called a loved one or a mate or maybe a parent or maybe a child in years. And maybe you just ought to get the phone out this afternoon and dial them up. Say, hey, I miss you. I love you. Maybe you ought to say, hey, I'm praying for you. Maybe you ought to just start the conversation and be praying in private. God's looking for reconciliation. God's looking for redemption. God's looking for some Christians who act and live and believe and pray like Christ. Come on. Help me. You know, no one's outside the scope of having difficulties and problems. It's amazed me over the years as I've had just numbers of preachers in to preach for us. And many times they'll tell me about difficulties and sometimes relationships and sometimes strained difficulties. And a number of years ago, I had a preacher in and he preached our dedication service for our building. And he was on his way out, on Monday morning. And he said, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" I said, "You don't get that too often, but every now and then." And I said, "I'd love to." And he said, "Well, when I leave here, preacher, I'm going to see my sister. We haven't spoken a word in 12 years. Preachers aren't exempt from that. Church members aren't exempt from that. And he said, "Would you pray for me? I think it's going to be difficult, but I've been praying about it. And I've asked God to help me. And I want that thing mended. And I want there to be reconciliation. And I want there to be that close fellowship that we enjoyed once a long time ago." I said, "Well, what happened?" And he said, "Well, there was a misunderstanding." Isn't that always the way Satan works? And some little thing cropped up and we got at odds. We got sideways with each other. And we've not spoken, listened to me in 12 years. Would you pray for me?" I said, "I'd love to, because I think God's in the business of reconciliation. I think God's in the business of making things right. I think God's in the business of making families whole. I think God's in the business of saving the lost." So I said, "I'll pray for you." Later on, I called him. I think it was a day later. And he said, "Oh, Pastor," he said, "thanks for praying. You're not going to believe it. We had such a wonderful time. We had such a wonderful time. We reminisced and rejoiced. And, you know, I don't think either of us remember what caused us to drift apart. 12 years lost." All need to be saved. All can be saved. Every last one from the, we say lots of times, from the guttermost to the uttermost. Amen. The least, the last, and the lost. Brother Chappell, we knew a guy that always used to say that at the old rescue mission. And Brother Chappell does it better than I do, so have him do it when he gets back. But the down and outer and the up and outer. I can remember we ran those buses all over San Jose, California. 23 buses all over that great metropolitan area. And we ran down into the slums and some of the areas that were less desirable. But, you know, we thought we ought to run the buses in the areas that are seemingly desirable. I can remember my wife had a bus route up in that area. And bus route 23. And on a big day, she had 170 on one bus. I think you can get in trouble for that. We took them home on two buses. But we were in an area of very, very, very nice homes in that area. I just got to remind you, they need the gospel too. She had five brothers that rode her bus, Abdul, 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 and Abdul. They came, lots of those kids got saved and got baptized and followed the Lord. But I can remind you this morning, all need to be saved. All can be saved. Thirdly, quickly, listen now. All saved the same way. You with me? Follow me? Are you listening? All saved the same way. I'm shocked sometimes when I listen to believers. "Well, they go to that church over there and they believe in baptismal regeneration. I think they'll be okay." No, come on. Listen. Follow the Bible. Listen to what God says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You don't get saved by baptism. I like baptism. We baptize. I've got folks waiting to be baptized when we get home. But baptism doesn't save. It's a picture of what Christ did. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day, victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And when a person gets baptized, it's a picture of identification with Christ in those three areas and with the local church. And it's a step of obedience. It's not how you get saved. It's what you do after you get saved.
That's right.
Baptism. Church membership doesn't save. You can get your name on probably almost any role in the valley if you really want. But that's not going to save you. Good works doesn't save you. I'm amazed many times when Christian people tell me, well, they were such good people. They do a lot of good things. They still need to be saved. Our good works, we don't put our good works on a balance and our bad works over here and hope, oh, thank God, our good works outweigh our bad works. No, we're saved by grace. Look at our text, verse 16. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. Look at it now. For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Paul's just saying, I got saved by simple faith in Jesus Christ. I'm a pattern. I believed on Christ. And anyone that's going to get saved after me is going to get saved the same way. By simple faith in Jesus Christ. Don't complicate what Christ has made easy. I've been out soul winning with people lots of times, and they go into how a person gets saved, and you're like, whoa, stop. Just give them the gospel. Jesus Christ died, He was buried, He rose again, 1 Corinthians 15, according to the Scriptures. He was a believer unto them that believe. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People don't get saved in different dispensations, different ways. People get saved by simple faith in Jesus Christ. All need to be saved. All can be saved. All saved the same way. Lastly, quickly, all saved to save others. All saved to save others. You've got a purpose for being here. You've got a reason. Sometimes people say, well, why am I here? Well, if you're here and you're a Christian, you're here to save others. If you're here and you're lost, you're here so you can get saved today. And no one understands what Jesus Christ has done for you. The Great Commission, I mentioned in Sunday school this morning, is given five times at least in the New Testament. Matthew and Mark and Luke and John in the book of Acts. We looked at another place in Mark this morning in the adult Sunday school class. I could take you to numerous places in the Old Testament where the Great Commission is given. But that's our job. All saved to save others. That's the ministry of the local church. That's the ministry of individual Christians today. That's the ministry of parents today to win your children. That's the ministry of each one of us today to win our families, our loved ones, our brothers, our sisters, our aunts, our uncles, our cousins, our nieces, our nephews. Family. I won't go into it this morning, but the word oikos in the New Testament there, thou shalt be saved and thy house, is that circle of friends around you that need to be saved. That you have contact with, that you can reach with the gospel. All saved to save others. We mentioned Luke 19:10, for the Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said in the book of John, He said, even so send I you. We're left here for a purpose. Now, here, where you are. I know lots of people say, well, when I get everything squared away, or if I get all my debt paid off, or when I finally get through Bible college, or when I learn a little bit more. No, I can't help but speak the things that I've seen and heard. You've been saved. Christ saved you. You're on your way to heaven. Share it with others. now, wherever you're at. You know, I watch people get saved in all different places, hospitals and parks and visitation and work and home and jail, sometimes at school, sometimes even college, sometimes at activity. No better place than right here, right now, if you're not saved, though. Or you can come just a minute, an old-fashioned invitation. Admit that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. It's interesting here, Paul says up there, get it in verse 15, the world is saved sinners, of whom I am chief. The first thing you got to do to admit you need to be saved is to admit that you're in a position where you've got to be saved. Sinner, of whom I am chief. You know, lots of times people will come down the aisle and I'll meet them and at the end of the invitation time and after we've had the message, and I'll shake their hand and I'll say, well, why'd you come? And sometimes they'll tell me. And then I'll look at them and I'll say, now why'd you really come? Now why'd you really come? They couldn't have come for what they told me. I know that. So I just simply say, now listen, why'd you really come? And usually then they'll tell me. And sometimes there's a great need and sometimes there's a prayer request. And many times they just need to be saved. They just need to be saved. Just need to trust Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. About a week ago, we had a lady come. Just out of the blue, showed up. Invitation given. Down the aisle she came. And just as clear as could be, I said, why did you come? She said, I need to be saved. She was facing some physical difficulties. We now find out that she has cancer. But she said, preacher, I need to be saved. Got saved, came back that night, brought her son, and then on Tuesday night, two of her men went out and won her son to Christ. A number of years ago, I was, I think we were at the church, and a young lady came to me, and she said, Pastor, would you go visit my uncle? I said, I'd love to. And I said, where is he? Well, she said, he's in the hospital. He tried to kill himself. I said, oh, really? I said, well, he shot my aunt, and he thought she was dead, and he'd have to go to prison, so then he shot himself. Well, come to find out, she didn't die, and neither did he. So I went to the hospital, and in cases like that, you've got policemen at the doors because he was there for attempted murder. And so the guy said, what do you want? I said, well, I'm the pastor, and a young lady asked me to come and visit him, and I'd just like to visit for a few minutes. I won't be very long. And he said, oh, that's great. That's fine. Just go on in. Well, I went in, and I began to visit with this fellow, Bob McIntosh, and he was down from Oklahoma, and we began to talk and visit and chat for a few minutes, and he began to cry, and he said, man, I made such a mess of my life. And I said, well, listen, Jesus Christ can help you fix it. I said, we went through the gospel, and I showed him how he could be saved. And I said, wouldn't you like to trust Christ as your personal Savior right now? He said, not only would I like to, I've got to. I've got to. And a few minutes, I led him to Christ. And you never know what's going to happen with those types of things. But he got out. He served his time in prison. Went to prison for attempted murder for a number of years. He wrote me regularly. He got into a Bible study in that prison because he got saved. And he got some Bible correspondence. And he started taking Bible correspondence courses. I get a letter every night and say, Pastor, I just passed another course. And then I get another one and say, Pastor, I just passed another course. And I got several of those, and finally one day I got a letter. He said, hey, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, but I graduated. A little bit later, he got out, and he said, hey, I'm out. And he said, listen, I'm in a church down here, down south, and I'm assisting the pastor. I never miss a church service. I go soul winning, and here's a guy that shot his wife, shot himself, got saved, and you know, God took him, blessed him, helped him, put his life back together, and continues to use him as far as I know to this day. I was at a church service and a number of years ago, and I preached a kind of a day like today, only it was called Transportation Sunday at this church. And they brought visitors, and everybody came in a different mode of transportation. It was a large church. And the city blocked off the streets for them, and they came in, and they had floats. The youth group made a float, and the adult class made a float. And they got old cars, and they drove Humvees, and they had roadsters, and the bicycles, and unicycles. And it was an actual, full-blown parade. No Sunday school. That was the Sunday school. All the bus kids lined the streets. The folks came down. The cars came down. It was unbelievable. And at the end of that front day then, after Sunday school, they parked everything and they had the morning service. And the pastor asked me to preach the morning service. And I preached the morning service and I spoke a little bit about reconciliation and about getting things right and about folks getting saved. And as we gave the invitation, extended the invitation, there was a lady that came down the right side of the auditorium over here and she began to weep. And she said, I'm a mother and my 13-year-old daughter has run away and I'm so burdened for her and I have no idea where she is and I want her to be saved and I want her to come back home and I've got such a mess on my hands they sent her off and gave her work and she knelt down and she was praying and others came. I don't know how many that day, just a good number came to be saved. Others for other decisions, baptism, church membership. It was just a great day, great day, great day. Some folks had come down this side, some young people, some young ladies and some young fellas and the Lord was working and there was a young girl that had come down this side of the auditorium to get saved and to trust Christ as personal Savior. And this again is in a larger metropolitan area. And the lady took her and led her to Christ over there. And as they do in some churches at the end of the service, they began to read off the names of those that had come to Christ. So-and-so got saved, and she's here today, a visitor at Water, and she trusted Christ as personal Savior. Mr. So-and-so got saved today, and the folks would give a big hearty amen. And in between, sometimes they'd have some baptisms. And all of a sudden, I heard a commotion down front. And I was sitting by this time over on the side, and just waiting for the service to end. And I just kind of watching, enjoying what God was doing. And all of a sudden, as I mentioned, there was that commotion down there. And you heard some hugging, and you heard some crying, and you're not going to believe it, but that 13-year-old girl over here on this side trusting Christ was the daughter of this mother over here praying for that young lady. I mean, how often? And are you ever going to see that? You couldn't write that up. And here's that daughter, and here's that mother that morning at the center aisle of that church, at that altar, reconciled by the grace of God. A daughter just out on the lam, running away, and came into that church not knowing what was going to take place that day. Unbeknownst to her mother was on this side praying for her. At that invitation time, here she came, trusting Christ as personal Savior. But it's a decision you got to make. You got to make the decision. If you're here and you're saved today, you need to make the decision that you're going to be a reconciler. You're going to be a redeemer in the sense that you're going to bring people to Christ. And if here you're unsaved today, you've got to decide that today's my day of salvation. I'm going to get saved and do it now. Behold, today is the accepted time. Now is the time to come forward. I was speaking last Sunday in Houston, Texas. My wife and I were down. We had had a fellow go out of our church many years ago to Ghana. He spent, I think it was 12 years in Ghana, came back from Ghana, and started a church in Katy, Texas. Doing a great job there. But the next day we were out Monday and his son had lived with us the last year of school before he went to Pensacola in high school and lived with us until he could get through and go with his folks over to Ghana and get away to college and those types of things. And so he lived with us and he was going out to look at a house in Hockley, Texas. And he said, would you like to go along with us and see the house we're going to look at in Hockley, Texas? I said, well, we'd love to. And my wife and I got in the car with them. We went out to Hockley, Texas. He's a Texas Highway Patrolman. And he happened to be off that day. And so we were out there. And he showed us this. He wanted some acreage so he could get some horses and stuff for his kids. So we were out at this place way out in the middle of nowhere, Hockley, Texas. And looking at this place. And we came up along a road sign there. And just before we got to where he's going to buy this place possibly. And there was a sign there. And we came there. It said, Cemetery Road intersected by Decision Lane. That's pretty potent. Cemetery Road intersected by Decision Lane. Hey, you know, every now and then we've got to make a decision. This is no time to put it off. You're here around folks that love you, pray for you, and if you're here and you need to be saved today, trust Christ today, you'll be glad you did.